Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. Today's episode is with Greg Grippo, who was infamously on The Bachelorette with Katie, and they had all the drums. And so many of you reached out when it all happened and you were like, are you team Greg or team Katie? And I was like, what the hell is going on? What does this mean? So naturally, I had to get my ass onto the couch and watch some Bachelorette. And I got up to speed and I'm excited for you to hear Greg's take on the whole thing. But before we get into that, I'm going to answer a few of your questions. Speaking of Greg, I was just on a Bachelorette party last weekend and it was really fun. We went to Tulum and we got a villa. It was really nice. Just going to speak a little bit on the safety aspect. We had so many people, including like the bride's dad and, you know, my dad and my sister who was supposed to come. She, you know, everyone was just really worried about the safety of it. And I've never really been worried about those things. And I don't know why. I probably should be more worried, but I have really good intuition about this stuff. And it's funny, I went to Acapulco when I was in college, when I was a freshman in college. And I think I was a freshman. Maybe I was a sophomore. And right before we went, I think it was like 10 or maybe 50, no, like 10 girls were beheaded. It was insane. Beheaded. Like, it's crazy. And if you're listening, you're like, what are you talking about? Like, why is there, you know, violence like this in Mexico? To be honest with you, I'm not educated enough on the subject to tell you, but I know there's a lot of corruption going on and like cartels and things like that and drug trade. And it's just it's very different than New York City, let's say. And there's a lot of things that we don't know. Funny enough, on that Acapulco trip, when we ended up going, we also stayed at a villa and a guy came to our villa one day dressed in a police outfit. Like, we thought he was a cop and he was like, I'm just doing a check on the villa, making sure everything's okay. And he ended up stealing two of my friends' passports, which is crazy wild. And they got stuck in Acapulco for 2 weeks. Luckily, there were like, you know, other people we knew coming after we had left, but it was really crazy. And so like, I've definitely experienced that stuff before. It's crazy, but this Bachelorette was great. It wasn't unsafe. And it was supposed to be a larger group, but then a few people found out they had COVID. And so it was six of us, which was actually really nice. There's something to be said about like girl bonding, six people. And I love to be like a leader in like a thought leader in the whole process of the bonding. And so like we went around one day and we said like our fatal flaws or things about us that we don't like. We said really nice things about everyone in the group so far. Like we did those games and it was really, really nice. Like it wasn't just like this crazy, like I'm blackout bachelorette. And it was funny because there were a lot of bachelor parties there in Tulum. And there's this weird connection between a bachelorette, like a bride on her bachelorette and a groom on his bachelor party. The two connect. And it's such a funny thing because you're like, wait, it shouldn't be like that. Like they should be like both the most happy people to like marry their whoever, but they end up like weirdly connecting. And so I wouldn't be surprised if like there've been some like low key hookups like that. That wasn't the case for our bride, but my friend, like I made a friend in a bachelor group and he was telling me all about it and it was crazy. And like, there was some cheating that went on in other bachelorette bachelor groups, which is so crazy. Like I feel like that's like the opposite of my vibe, like on my bachelorette. Like the last thing I want to do is like think about hooking up with someone. I want to like, you know, have a good time with my best friends, but craziness. Okay. So I watched the first episode of the new Sex and the City show. And just like that, I didn't watch the second yet. But I was a little disappointed. I will say it did seem like everyone was a little rusty in terms of like being those characters, which is totally fair. Makes sense. I'm not an actress, so I don't know how hard or easy that is. But I did feel like they made the whole like aging process sound like a bad thing. Like oh, you know, you can't have gray hair or like, you have to do everything you can to look young. And I feel like the whole Sex and the City idea is like, doesn't matter how old you are, chic and effortless and, you know, cool at every age. And so that was like kind of annoying. And then I didn't like the ragging on Samantha, but I heard they like make up for that in the second episode. I don't know. I'm a little confused about the Miranda like alcoholism. And the weird awkwardness that she had with the black teacher. I felt like she, I don't know, I just felt like it was a really cringe, possibly unnecessary moment, but maybe it displayed how she was like drunk or something at that class. I obviously hated Big dying. And I thought that Carrie just like walked in and I don't know, maybe she froze because she was so scared, but like call 911 if your husband looks like they're having a heart attack, you know, like it's not that hard of a thing. I loved Charlotte, everything about her. I did feel like she went a tad too hard on the filler Botox, but I have no idea what I'm going to look like at that age. So I really can't judge. Somebody asked about things that I didn't realize were part of wedding planning. Well, something I'll share with you guys that's like pretty personal is that I've been planning my wedding pretty much just myself and my wedding planner. My mom is amazing. She's an incredible mom, but she's not like the mom. I always say like, you know, there's two kinds of moms when you go to college. There's the one that like comes in and does your entire dorm up and like, you know, makes it really nice and decorates every last bit. And same with your first apartment. And, you know, and my mom's more like a New York City mom. She's from Brooklyn. She's like, you know, go to college, figure it out. And she has like her own shit going on. And so for the most part, like I'm planning this wedding with the planners. I am very lucky that my parents are being very generous with, you know, the resources that they've given me to plan the wedding, but I'm pretty much planning it myself and the planners. And that's something that I didn't realize maybe was part of wedding planning is like, you know, I'm really doing it on my own. And like I was with a couple brides last weekend at the Bachelorette and they're like, oh, you know, my mom's just doing everything. And like, I'm just showing up. And I don't think people realize like that, you know, to me, like I'm sensitive from that. Cause I'm like, I would love that. Like, I would love to just show up at my wedding, but like, I'm doing the dirty work. So I think like, you don't think about how much you're going to be doing versus how much your parents are doing. So that's something to think about. Like, do you have the kind of parent who's going to, you know, jump in and like do most of the planning? Is it going to be you? So that's definitely something to think about. Somebody asked, do you tell a girl her significant other cheated? This is funny, or it's not funny. I don't know why I keep saying everything's funny. Like nothing's funny here. But this is interesting because we just did a poll and we were like, what is it? Is it bad karma or is it good karma? If you tell the person that you've been hooking up with their significant other, like you've been the other girl, that they're cheating. And I think that's probably bad karma just because it's you, you know, unless you didn't know that they had a significant other. Like I've done that. I've, you know, hooked up with someone who I didn't know they had a girlfriend. And then once I found out, I immediately told her because I felt like it was the right thing to do. And that's what I would have wanted. But if I were doing it knowingly and then was like, oh, I should probably tell this girlfriend now because maybe they're ignoring me now or I'm not getting what I want from them anymore or something, you know, then that's probably bad karma. But I do think like treat other people as you want to be treated. For me, I always want to know everything. I don't believe ignorance is bliss. So I would really want to know. And lastly, how to deal with relatives that make you feel like you have to eat everything and want to stuff you. Really interesting question. I know Christmas is around the corner. I will say like, again, these are all projections of how they feel about themselves. Like if someone's like, you look too skinny, you need to eat, or like, you shouldn't be eating that, you've eaten too much. Like that's all a projection of them. Listen to your body and your intuition about when it comes to anything eating. Like you're the only one that knows when you've had enough, when you want more, and fuck everyone else. So excited for today's episode. I thought it was just going to be Greg, but Andrew Spencer joined us as well. And he is hilarious. And the two of them together are amazing. So I'm really excited for you to hear it. And it's a long episode today, but it's worth it. The ending, we just start shooting the shit and it's really funny. So stay tuned and I hope you like it. It's so important to love the space that you're in, especially in really cold months, because let's face it, you're spending most of your time inside, ordering delivery probably, and you want to love it. You really want to look around and be like, I am relaxed, I am centered, I have good energy. And a lot of that is like also the way that you style your place. Like you want it to look beautiful, but you also want to curate it to actually look cohesive. I don't know how to do that. Like I certainly do not have stylistic taste, as they say. And so when I ordered my furniture for my apartment, I was like, if I go on article.com, then I'm going to end up finding furniture that is already curated. So I don't have to worry about if it's like cohesive with my environment because it all looks good. And that's what the like amazing designers behind it do. They make sure that everything looks really, really cool and modern and sleek. And they have like, it's all inspired by a variety of modern design aesthetics, like mid-century, Scandinavian, industrial, and bohemian. And you save up to like 30% over traditional retail prices. Plus, you're not waiting a year to get your furniture. It's fast and affordable and it comes like pretty quickly. We got our stuff within weeks, which is really unheard of, especially for the time right now. We got the Nova Winter Gray Daybed, which my fiance is actually napping in right now and we love, the Bovie Pearl Blue Rug and the Mara Oak Side Table, but we're definitely going to dabble again because we really want everything that they have. It's amazing. Article is offering We Met at Acme listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. All you have to do is go to article.com/acme and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/acme to get $50 off your purchase of $100 or more. Hope you love it. I have never been busier during a holiday in my entire life. I don't know if it's just like work stuff on top of wedding planning stuff or what it is, but it's been so crazy. And I have no time to cook right now. And I had said to myself, like, I'm going to do everything that I can, you know, months out from the wedding, I'm going to cook every night. Absolutely not. Like, I have no time. And I'm so grateful for Daily Harvest. Between the smoothies that they sent and the bowls, like everything that I get from them is so phenomenal. Like literally their smoothies take minutes to prepare and they have all the best ingredients. When I make a smoothie on my own, I have no idea what I'm doing. And it just does not taste the way that a smoothie should taste. But when I try the chocolate and blueberry smoothie from them or the mint and cocoa smoothie, like it tastes exactly how I want it to taste. I also am obsessed with their forager bowls right now. The strawberry and goji berry oat bowl is so good. Like just think about that. I mean, think about those ingredients. Like it has strawberry, oats, goji berries, flax, other berries, berries that like I didn't even know existed, and vanilla. Like it tastes like a cake, but it's good for you. It's so unbelievable what Daily Harvest can do. And their packaging is recyclable and compostable. So you can feel good about the choices that you're making physically and for the environment. Keep it simple during the holidays with Daily Harvest. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter code ACME to get up to $40 off your first box. That's code ACME for up to $40 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. dailyharvest.com. And don't forget, it's code ACME for up to $40 off your first box.
I used to care so much about portraying a perfect life and acting like everything was okay when really things were far from it. I was secretly battling anxiety, depression, and an eating disorder. So it was a lot. I'm Victoria Garrick, former Division I athlete, mental health advocate, and host of Real Pod. Every Wednesday, I sit down with celebrities, athletes, entrepreneurs, and more to talk about the inner thoughts and feelings that we're all struggling with. So leave the filters and Facetunes at the door and join me on Real Pod.
Hey guys, welcome back to We Met at Acme. I am so excited to be here with The Bachelorette's Andrew Spencer, actually, and Greg Grippo. It's a 2-in-1 deal.
Happy to be here. I mean, I feel like that's what like we are now. It's a 2-in-1 deal with everything.
I've been hearing this. Are you guys roommates?
Not yet.
Not yet. No, yeah. He's been living on my couch, though.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Let's get back to basics. How old are you and where are you from? We'll start with Greg.
So I'm 28. I'm from Edison, New Jersey, born and raised there. Family started gravitating towards Spring Lake, New Jersey, but I just moved to New York, actually, a little over a year ago at this point.
Very cool.
I've been loving it.
Very cool. What about you?
I'm actually 26. My birthday's coming up pretty soon here, actually, so I might be 27
pretty soon. When is it?
In January.
January
20th.
Okay, so do you identify as an Aquarius or a Capricorn?
An Aquarius.
What does that mean?
I don't really know what it means, but I feel like I have to know, and I know it's Aquarius.
Well, that makes sense that you guys are so close, because I've done my research, and Greg is a Gemini.
Uh-huh. Does that mean, like, you're friends? Friends,
besties. Gemini and Aquarius and Libras, which is me, so basically we're the three best friends. We're all air signs.
Look at this.
All air signs.
That's amazing. But yeah, I'm from Chicago, born and raised. Lived in the suburbs before just going back to Chicago, and then I did a little stint in Europe. But yeah, now I'm on Greg's couch.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. Love it. Love it. Very sweet of you to extend your couch.
Yeah, you know, I never thought I would have a roommate ever, but I love this guy. So yeah, I'll make room for him.
Stop. That's great. That's great. Is it like an older brother vibe or just like a
No, I do not consider you a younger brother.
No, it's more like twins.
I mean, 2 years. It's like a big difference.
No, it feels like twins.
No.
We were birthed at the same time.
Okay.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't look at like I'm a younger brother to him. We're kind of the same person. So it's more so that.
I'll take it. So, Greg, what's your current relationship status?
You know, I am not necessarily dating at the moment. I try to, you know, the best I can, especially after the show, keep that part of my life private, I guess. Just because, you know, being in the public eye with a relationship and then dealing with so much scrutiny, it was pretty hard. So, I definitely not on the market at the moment, but...
Okay, yeah. It's interesting because when I said that you were going on the show, a few people reached out that they've matched with you on a dating app.
Really?
So how does that happen?
Really? Like, I...
Or do you think you're at, like, you just forgot to delete the profiles and they're just hanging?
I haven't had a profile in 2 years.
Oh, really?
We have to delete our...
We get it all the time. Guys, everyone's like, oh, I matched with you. I'm like...
Someone's impersonating you.
I get fake accounts, like, sent to me left and right.
That's wild.
But, I mean...
Yeah, I've been off the app. It's it's really tough to.
I mean, maybe I was on Hinge though, like yeah. prior to the show. So yeah, maybe people are like referring to that.
But like, what does that mean? So you're just, you guys aren't like legally allowed to be on the
app?
No,
we are,
now?
But every time we send messages, people screenshot it and like make a TikTok out of it.
No, especially before the show, no, we couldn't like. Especially when it was airing.
Yeah, when the show was airing, we couldn't be on it.
Legally, okay. like, you can't even be on it. But then after the show, we're like, we're not going on a dating app. Yeah. I don't know. That's, like, the last thing I would want to do right now.
Totally.
Couldn't go back.
All right, so let's get this controversy out of the way so that we can, you know, talk about some other fun things. So I will admit, it's so funny because I've had so many bachelorettes on the show.
Right.
And it's been awesome to talk to all of them. But I have to admit, I'm not a regular bachelor or bachelorette watcher.
Love that.
And that's, I feel like that's like why they want to come on, because they're like, if she was, then she'd be too aggressive.
Yeah.
But I was getting all these DMs during your season that were like, are you team Greg or team Katie? Oh, and shit. I was like, who are these people? Like, I don't know. And they were like, you need to take a stance. Like, you need to know what you are. And I was like, okay, sure. So I put it on with my fiance and we watched just like the last few episodes. And
I can tell by your face.
Which is why I miss you on the show, Andrew.
Okay,
I'm so
sad. I was like literally the episode before the storm.
But I saw you in the flashbacks. Anyway, and then so we watched and I'm going
to
get so much shit for this. No, I'm going
to
get so much shit for this because I was like, I kind of was like Team Greg, which is so crazy.
Solid.
Because like I'm the, just in case this is listened to by Katie, I'm not like really on a team.
Mm-hmm.
I understood your point. This is like before like the show ended. This is like while you're still in the show, I understood the fact that like you just wanted like a crumb of like, just like, you know, I don't think you were saying like, tell me it's going to be me necessarily. Like, that's cheating.
I felt a lot of people thought that as
right.
well.
But you were like, just give me something to hold on to. Mm-hmm. I've opened my heart up. Like, you've met my family. Well, the one thing is like the you've met my family one was a funny line to me, because I was like, that's, you're legally contracted to meet for her to meet her family.
Course,
so like, of course you met your family. Mm-hmm. But I heard what you were saying and I felt like, and like, you know, I'm kind of into astrology, as you guys can tell. Katie's a Capricorn and she's a little bit more buttoned up with her emotions. And so she wasn't giving that to, like, she was really, it seemed like she was following the rules almost too perfectly and like putting on a persona, but not having the emotional aspect to it. And it felt like withholding almost. So I understood why you wanted that.
Yeah. I mean, there's, man, I could go on about this for hours. I feel like there's so many sides to it. There's so many opinions on it. For me, it was a really tough decision to leave. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do and, you know, choose for myself. It was tough, especially after hearing everyone saying like, oh, I was acting or I ran away when it got too serious. I mean, for me, I'm like, what if she said I love you back, guys? Like, I couldn't leave then, you know? I would have known then, like, this is going to be my wife. I wouldn't have left. You can't leave. After emptying my heart, I felt like I put all my cards on the table and I showed her my hand and I was like, this is us, you know? But I definitely just wanted a little crumb. And, you know, for us, we just like weren't on the same page. And I feel like that was very telling about where we were going to be headed in the future. And it just seemed like the right move for me.
So if someone said to you, like, what was the reason that you left, in your words?
Man, you know, I think like what you said, it was, it felt like a little too scripted and it felt like, all right, we need a play by. I had no problem going to like the fantasy suite and there being two other guys there. I wasn't looking for the show to end. I wasn't at all. I wanted us to communicate on a mutual level in those moments. I understand that it's tough when you have two other relationships, but it was, for me, I just wanted that mutual love. And yeah, because it's The Bachelorette, it's The Bachelor. So there's steps to it. I understand that, but this is also the rest of my life. And if this is going to be the person I marry, I want it to be completely real. And like, yeah, I want to show my family after, be like, look, you know, look what we accomplished. Like, look what we went through. You know, that's one of the hardest things I feel like to make it out of the mud with someone, you know, that damn dating show.
Are you not allowed to say I love you to someone until like a certain point?
You totally are. Whenever you feel it. Yeah. Whenever you feel it. The producers, you know, they have the role with like the dates and everything and, you know, asking you questions. But I mean, the feelings are there.
Yeah,
they're there.
And that's the point that like differentiates from our perspective, from like the fans' perspective. Like Greg is really feeling this. And at one point it turns off from being a show and it's like real life. Like he's thinking about marrying this woman. Like, and other people are like, well, that's not how the show goes. You should have known what you signed up for. Like there comes a point where it's like, it's not even about the show and how like the timeline's going. Like if you're in love, you're in love. There's no other way around it. Like you have to, you know, find out how you're going to translate this to real world. And like, that's where I was like, I get what Greg was trying to say, like what he was needing from it, from her in that moment. I was like, that's right then and there. Like, it's no longer about get to this part of the show. It's like, hey, how are we going to translate this to actually make it work? That's why I was like, I get what he did. And I like, I'm friends with Katie as well.
Yeah.
And I believe that what he was looking for, she didn't give him that answer. So
would you have done the same thing?
Would I have done the same thing? In that situation, it's different because the way he like physically and emotionally poured out his heart to her, I don't know if I was ever in that same realm of feelings. I mean, we were really close to it, but I wasn't as far along as them. Like you could see it. Like everyone knew like Greg and Katie had like a spark, this different feeling about each other. So like me and the other contestants were like, we're not there yet, but that's, you know, we can feel that way. But if I was in his shoes, I probably wouldn't have had that emotional connection that hard, and I probably would have left. I mean,
yeah,
it's tough because, you know, you want to marry someone and you want to do the show right, but you also got to look out for yourself in the real world and how it's going to correlate. So I think that's important.
Also, you know, I definitely also want to reiterate because I've stated this before, but it definitely wasn't the healthiest kind of love on my end, if I'm being completely honest. I definitely, you know, I had a lot of insecurities going in, and I had, you know, still a lot of pain that I was processing through the loss of my father, which was only 2 years at that point. And that was one of the first times I ever felt true happiness again in a long time. And that's not something you could put on your partner or rely on somebody with. So I've been kind of dealing with that on my own, trying to figure that out on my own and getting back, you know, to, you know, how I was, you know, I guess a more full self of my, you know.
Had you gone, I know you've been in therapy now and I want to talk to you about it, but had you gone to therapy prior to the show after the loss of your dad?
Yeah, so I did. And it was about 2 months after my dad passed. I went right to therapy and I was seeing this guy for 2 times a week for about 9 to 10 months. His name was Ron. He was in his like mid to late 80s, and it was around month 9 or 10 he actually got diagnosed with cancer and died within like the week.
No.
And he became like, he became such like a father figure in that time, and he was so wise, and the thing that got me, he was so hip. He understood like the lingo, and he really understood it, and like his mind was always there. But I remember one of our last therapy sessions, he just kind of started passing out the table. Oof. And the family contacted me because they knew how close him and I were. And
that's so hard to go through.
It was tough. So I definitely, I went away from it after a while. And it's tough also finding, you know, a therapist that suits you. So after the show was extremely helpful. They got me in touch with one of the show's therapists. I was in contact with them for weeks. I found one out here in New York City and been seeing him ever since.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And like for anyone listening, we actually have on our website, we have a resource of therapists if you're looking. When everything went down and you left the show,
yeah,
how closely were you following what everyone was saying about you in the media and whatever?
word for word. You know, at the end, when I left and the whole gaslighting thing came out, I didn't leave my bed for, I think, 10 days. My family was really worried about me. I was in a really dark spot. I felt like the only person in the world, honestly. I just felt like, you know, nobody was going through what I was going through in that moment, which, you know, is naive. There's, you know, worse things in the world. But still, I felt like I couldn't even be seen after that for a while. I was so embarrassed, ashamed. You know, the first time I watched it, because we watched it prior of going on stage, and I just wanted to leave off on a good note with her. And we went in, and she was, I could just sense her energy right off the bat. I was like, oh, shit, I'm in for some trouble here. And then after, when I watched it with, like, the second time with the everyone watching it on live TV, it was brutal for me to watch, I'm not going to lie. It was hard for me to see myself like that and see myself, because I felt like I was projecting in that moment a little bit.
Did you know, and I'm curious if you did either, Andrew, did you know what gaslighting was before that?
No idea. No. I didn't know what that meant.
I really didn't. And
I still don't know what it means. Really.
I felt like people like were tossing around that word. And here I am, like, I'm like truly trying to understand, like, what people were trying to say, like, you know, really manipulating her mindset. And that's the furthest thing from what I was trying to do. I wasn't communicating properly at all in that moment, but I felt like it would have been manipulative if I stayed after that, after, like, I walked outside and made her, you know, talk to me outside. I feel like it would have, that would have been manipulative mm-hmm. of me. I'm not trying to justify it, but right. I think I'm, like, we both are. I think that was, like, the first time I was really, like, hearing that term, gaslighting, and people were just, like, throwing it out left and right. And then she posted it on her story, and I was like, shit. Like, there were just an influx of, like, thousands of messages coming at me.
Right.
It was pretty tough. So I've done my research.
But now knowing what gaslighting is, like, you were not like, oh, shit, this sounds like what I'm doing. You were like, this was not my intention.
Not at all. Not even a sliver of my intention was to gaslight her at all.
It's interesting because gaslighting is, like, a very real thing. And, like, to go over the definition again, it's like making someone think that they're crazy when they have a suspicion or belief or thought mm-hmm. that is true, but, like, just, like, making them think it's not or whatever. And it's interesting. It usually comes from, like, a narcissist. I mean, I don't know you that well, but it doesn't seem like you're a narcissist, but I would have to I don't know that for a fact. But it seems like this gaslighting term, which I do agree with, like, it's no one's ever, maybe people are, right? But for the most part, a lot of people gaslight without knowing that they're gaslighting. Yeah. So I think that is, like, a more innocent version of it versus someone who's intentionally, let's say, cheating on you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I think you're pretty close with your coworker. And they're like, what are you talking about? You're insane.
Right.
Like, that's direct gaslighting, that, like, they know exactly what they're mm-hmm. doing. Okay. And then my last question on that matter is, you left, you're watching the show. To me, I was like, oh my God, like, Katie was, first of all, choosing this guy.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, she's obsessed with this guy. She's so in love with him. It's crazy. If, like, now he must see that, now that he's left, right? And then I felt like she was really going through the motions of just pretending to be in love with whoever was left and be with them. And now, if I'm correct, she's not with that person anymore. She's with someone else. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Did you agree when you left that she was like, that you were like, oh, damn, she was actually so into me?
Did I think that she was into me? I mean, mm-hmm. I at least I like to think on my end, the feelings that we had were real. But I just truly believe that she had stronger feelings for Blake, who ended up getting engaged to her after. I mean, I felt like, I mean, I was even calling producers after. I was DMing, like, Caitlin Bristow. She, like, nobody was answering me, but I was like, is she with him? You know, did, like, they end up together? Is she coming back to New Jersey? I was calling producers left and right because I was also telling my family. I'm like, guys, I think there's a better chance than not, because let me tell you, it's, like, very real between us. And I think that, you know, they can give me a call and, like, I could, either she's going to come to New Jersey, I'll go back to New Mexico. I don't care what it takes. But yeah. What was the second question?
Well, I just think that, I don't know. I could be so off, but but it felt to me like she was like heartbroken from you, and that's the reason that she went with the guy. Like, you were her top choice in my mind,
right?
And I'm curious if Andrew agrees. And then I felt like she just, like, scrambled to get engaged or whatever, because that's, like, the ending that the show needed. But I
think it was Blake.
It's hard to get engaged just to get engaged.
Yeah.
Not on The Bachelor.
I guess.
I think it was always Blake, but I feel like she wanted to explore more and to see if it was you. But I think, like, she already had that feelings for Blake that she knew that this could actually work. I think she was still kind of fishing to see if this just is, like, a lust thing or whatever, like a crush that she had like with Greg, and actually could make it work in the outside world. So I definitely think she wanted you to go at least top two and then decide from there. But I don't know. I mean, I know she was infatuated with you, but I felt like she's the same way with Blake as well. So,
but if that's true, then why isn't she with Blake anymore?
I mean, I think they had a tough situation. Like I said, I think before, that there was a long-distance relationship thing. Like, he was in Africa. That's not easy. And just after being on the show where you can't see each other for a while because of Aaron, you don't want to spoil the season. So, like, there were just not enough opportunities to be with each other, I feel. In my book, that leads to bad things in my eyes.
But don't you feel like if you really want to be with someone, like, I just feel like some like celebrities sometimes will break up and they'll be like, oh, it's scheduling conflict. And it's like scheduling conflict for your relationship? Like, nah. Like, you'll make it work. You'll find each other.
I wouldn't say that's on Katie. I think that's on both parts. I think both of them should have decided to be with each other at least a couple months before deciding to make such a big leap away from each other. But
yeah. I mean, we figured that out on my end between her and I. If we made it to that point, she told me she was going to come right to New York, which was huge for me. That was the biggest thing for me because she understood how important family was to me. And she was like, I would never make you leave your mom. Mm-hmm. And that really, really made me invested in her. And I was like, I could totally see this with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last thing on that, watching the conversation back, were you like, this is exactly what I would have said if I could just like rewrite it a little bit?
The breakup?
The breakup, and also when you came on like the after show.
No.
There's nothing you would have said differently?
Oh, no. I would have. I think I would have done a lot differently.
Uh-huh. Probably not say Meryl Streep. Huh?
No, hey, you know what? I wish I was Meryl Streep. I'll stick to that. No, I would have definitely tried to have more patience. And I mean, there's nothing I feel like I could have done differently on the couch other than deliver my apology better towards her. And when Caitlin and Tasia first asked me, like, do I have any regrets? It was tough because I was saying, like, oh, I try to live my life like no regrets. And I always, like, say, oh, everything happens for a reason and it'll play out the way it's supposed to. I was trying to, like, say, no, she's happy. She's with someone. I wasn't meaning like, oh, no, I didn't have any regrets of how the delivery went or anything like that. But also, here's the thing. I mean, after our hometown date and, I mean, I was in a fetal position back in my hotel room for about 48 hours. Producers kept on having to, like, get me because she used to tell me, like, her pool time. And I used to just sneak out and, like, wait by the fence to see if, like, I can, like, you know, get a hold of her. You know,
what do you mean her pool
had
time?
All the tricks.
Yeah, no, oh my God, I was doing everything.
What's pool time?
I was going nuts. And like they had somebody walking the hallways too because they thought that I was going to go to her room across.
That's hilarious.
I was honestly about to go on a mission and try to talk to her.
What is pool time? That's like downtime?
She was just like having her downtime and away from like, you know, being the whatever, the bachelorette.
Right.
And she would be able to just like chill by the pool for like an hour. And she told me the times that she would go. But I don't think they let her go during those times because we're always mic'd up, so they heard her tell me, I guess.
Yeah, oof, rough. There's something really sexy to me about the holidays and about Christmas. Like, maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just, like, weirdly in, maybe I have a Santa fetish. I don't know. But, like, I'm thinking about, like, the movie The Holiday and, like, things like that. It's, like, you know, like Christmas is here and you go to your hometown and like you meet this hottie and like they're dressed as an elf, not the elf thing, but you know, there's something sexy about it. And like whether your fantasy is like a hometown thing or like a house swap or you're on vacation with your family and you run into someone and you have sex on a golf cart, I may or may not have done that in the past. Anyway, like, it's really hot to listen to these stories and to, like, really get into it. And just because you might be home for Christmas or freezing cold for Christmas doesn't mean that you shouldn't orgasm. Like, that is the key to happiness. It's the key. It relieves my cramps. It helps me sleep better. It puts me in a better mood. It gets a little sweat in. Like, it burns calories, you know? And I want you to have that experience because I get to do it all the time and I love it. And even if you're in a relationship, you can still masturbate. Like, there are no rules. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/acme. They're amazing audio stories. Dipsy is an audio app and it's like full of these short, sexy stories that their point is to turn you on. Like, you're supposed to be masturbating, listening to these stories. So no matter where you are, you have something to get off to and to feel better. There's 30 days of free access when you go to dipseastories.com/acme. That's dipseastories.com/acme. Check it out. Look for that hometown hottie story. Or maybe it's like, maybe you have like a fantasy of like sleeping with someone right before their wedding day. Whatever you're into, it's all sex positive. All these stories are inclusive and they're created with women in mind because your pleasure matters. So check it out, dipseystories.com/acme. I never knew how much the 50s and 70s and 60s and whatever would be back. And they really are back in terms of unitards. Like, I look back on all these like 70s workout outfits and I'm like, I can't believe they wore that. And now I'm like, I can't believe this is back. I'm so happy. And it's just amazing because Girlfriend Collective makes the best unitards and like onesies. I don't know. Are they still even called unitards? And they also make the most amazing sets. What I love about Girlfriend Collective is that they have all sizes. They include every single person from like extra, extra small to extra, extra, extra large, like all of the sizes. And there's no one that isn't welcome to wear their clothes, which is such a beautiful thing. And they're just also really sustainable, ethically made. So you feel really good about it. And did I mention that they have like a whole program? It's called like a garment take back program, ReGirlfriend. So once you're done like loving and wearing your pieces, you can actually send them back and they're upcycled into new girlfriend gear, which is so cool because that's like giving back and buying at the same time. For listeners of We Met at Acme, Girlfriend Collective is offering $25 off your purchase of $100 or more when you go to girlfriend.com/acme. It's the holidays. Get yourself a cute outfit so that you have some motivation to move your body. Whether you're going on a run, going to Pilates, yoga, whatever it is you like, you'll get $25 off your $100 or more purchase when you go to girlfriend.com/acme. That's girlfriend.com/acme. And it's not just workout stuff. Like, they have all really cute things. So like tees, swimsuits, tanks, regular shorts. So check it out. Okay, I lied. There's one more question about that. If Katie called you today and she was like, Greg, like I'm not going to lie. Like, I can't stop thinking about you. And like, I want to give this another shot.
Chapter's closed. I don't mean that in any harsh way, but I'm just at another point in my life and I don't think we're right for each other anyway.
Mm. Wow. What about you, Andrea? She called you.
Yeah, I have to piggyback ride that. I think we're just on different paths and, you know, obviously, she's got a man right now, so I think she's doing very
that
well.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Wow, so much to unpack there. Since the show, you said that you are not dating right now, but the show is a bit ago now. Have you dated?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Andrew?
No, I haven't, actually.
Really?
It's very tough for me. I don't know what it is.
I'll set you up.
I would love that. I'm kind of just looking for the right one. I've gone maybe on a couple dates, but not like it was one time, maybe a couple drinks, and then we just say, oh, that was nice. And then I didn't talk to her again. So nothing like really concrete. Like, I've just been very selective. And like, I know what I'm looking for. And because obviously from the show, like, it taught you a lot about what you're looking for in a woman. So yeah, I'm looking to get married.
There's going
to
be a special lady whoever sweeps this guy.
To get married at 26?
I don't believe in that age thing. I think that's just ridiculous.
He really doesn't. Me and him talk about it all the time. He's legit ready. He is.
So everyone will like, you know, everyone wants to say this or that about age. And, you know, this has been the biggest goal of mine my whole life, is to become a good father. So, I mean, and husband. So, like, that's, you know, when you prioritize things that way, you have a different outlook on it.
So how do we qualify that person, right? Like, what are the qualities that you're looking for in that wife, let's say?
Honestly, right off the jump, it's just, you know, someone I can create sparks with. I'm a sparks guy over checkboxes guy. You know, a lot of people want to be like, oh, she does this, she does that. I mean, that'll come after we have the romance. I feel like having that fire, that passion for each other is one of the things I'm looking for. And after that, if she also has the humor that can combat with my humor, and then just being like a good person, is intelligent and knows exactly what she wants and not what I want, you know, wants to live her life as well, mm-hmm. but we come together on that. You know, I want her to be able to be her own self, have her own thoughts, have her own, whatever she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be piggybacked off me, and we can just meet in the middle, a little compromise. So yeah, I just want her to completely be her, but also love to be with me and want to be with me, not have to or need.
Right. Yeah, I definitely feel that. And I feel like that's a lot of the advice that I give to our female listeners, is like, don't kind of give up your own stuff when you start dating. Like, that's the worst case scenario, because then you lose yourself and like you're only about this guy.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want that. I don't want someone to be, you know, driven for something that they want to accomplish. And, you know, I'm be their biggest supporter.
For sure.
And that's exactly what I look forward to doing.
So you're looking for the wife, Greg. Sounds like you're not.
I wouldn't say that at all. You know, I definitely am going to take my time. But, you know, I'm the youngest of four. Everyone's married with going on. I have eight nieces and nephews now. Yeah, trust me. I mean, I'm getting there. I'm pretty ready. I mean, that's why I feel like, especially after post show, I wasn't just going on. You know, we've kind of kept it relatively private and, you know, really being careful about, you know,
exactly
who we give our time and energy to, because we are genuinely looking for something real.
Have you ever ghosted somebody, Greg?
I'm not going to lie and say I haven't. Yeah, there's definitely been times in my past where I've ghosted, yeah.
Can you tell me why, like, what's a reason that you would ghost?
So can you also explain this to me?
Yeah.
I guess for me, because I'm thinking back at a time where maybe it was just like, we got drinks one night or a couple beers, and we just didn't text each other after. There's just no messages after that.
So are you saying, is that a mutual ghost?
Yeah. Is that like a mutual ghost?
I would say that's a mutual ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not really. I would probably blame, did you initiate that date?
No, I mean, what's coming to mind is usually like, I went on, I feel like, a few Hinge dates, and it just wasn't there, and neither of us could feel it. And we just like, or even like a mutual setup.
Sure.
You know, after it, I was like, hey, I had so much fun. Maybe we'll run into each other again sometime. And there's just like no messages after that.
Yeah.
It was never like, by the way, I'm not interested in you, or like seeing anything after. It's just like, it was like, you know, it was great meeting you. And then nothing after that.
I would say it's not a fully mutual ghost, because like, for me, when I go out with a guy, like, they're in pursuit of me. So if they cease to pursue me, then I would feel ghosted. Not ghosted, but like rejected at least. Because like, I don't know how I would have reacted if you did send that text after, right? And you were like, had a good time, what are you doing next week? Maybe as the girl in that situation, I would be like, yeah, that sounds great. But because you didn't, I felt maybe like rejected and didn't reach out. So it's like, it's not a full ghost, but it's not a ghost.
Hear you.
Are you guys done with bachelor, bachelorette stuff? Or is there some stuff happening in the future?
I wouldn't say we're done. I think we've had, you know, pretty good experiences other than like what happened at the last end. But no, we're really close with the producers. I think they're really cool. I think everyone there, you know, they have our best interest. And if there's something that they want to do with us, I'm sure we wouldn't, you know, shy away from doing it. But we have nothing planned right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not focusing one bit on the show at all. I'm focusing, you know, just on, like I said, I've been going revisiting therapy, focusing on myself. Haven't been working out recently. I just started again. Thank God. Getting back in the gym.
It's good for the mental health.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Yeah, been on a few dates and seeing where that goes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me your biggest turn on and your biggest turn off.
It's a good question.
I feel like I have a couple turn offs.
That's fine.
Man, if you're really, I think, serious, like on like dancing in front of the camera on TikTok, I feel like that's kind of like
Wow, I'm personally offended. Personally offended.
Like if you're breaking like one of like these, like I don't know. But if you're like full on serious,
and if you're not like just making like having fun,
What I'm most attracted to is somebody that doesn't take themselves too seriously. Yes, if you're dancing in front of it, but then you're also laughing at yourself, and it comes off in a joking way. Totally, I think that's hot.
Yeah.
But when you're like, well, I'm gonna turn on these guys, or like,
you know what? It's really hard to remember all the moves and remember to smile sometimes. So like,
totally,
but
totally.
I hear you. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It sounded like you had a few.
I just want somebody that doesn't take life too seriously. You know, being able to joke, being able to, you know, be silly and dance together at weddings and not care who's watching. I just want to have fun with my person and somebody that, you know, taking care of yourself is obviously really important, but man, sometimes I roll up out of bed with just, you know, sweats on half the time. You know, I just want to kick it with someone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be able to hang out. And I want the person, my partner who I'm with, to be able to, like, let loose like that from time to time. And just, you know, it's all about not taking things too seriously for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Andrew? I know you mentioned the having your own life.
I would say not allowing me to hang out with friends. I think that is the worst.
What? That's just psychotic.
Be like, or like just always, you know, just really too up on each other sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm a very lovey-dovey person, but I'm also like, go hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
So if I'm neglected, that's a turn on.
Yeah.
But a turn on, I would say, is how a woman carries herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is just like, it doesn't matter what she looks like. If you can just like see the exuding like confidence as she like walks in a room, you're like,
oh,
wow.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it's like the biggest turn on.
Yeah, that is the biggest turn on.
Yeah.
What, Greg, is something that you had a realization about in therapy? I don't have COVID, I promise.
No, all good. That's a big question.
Or just something you were like, oh, shit, that's an aha moment. Or,
you know, I think the biggest thing is that everyone's experiencing life through their own lens. And I try to take time now of just understanding that everyone has their own way of looking at things and try not to come at it through a judgmental point of view, but appreciate people's opinions more. You know, different opinions is not a negative thing. And that's what I'm trying to learn most is, you know, not trying to change people's opinions either.
You're dropping fire right now. I'm not gonna lie. That's very factual. That's because, you know, you get in this world, like you look at everything that people write.
It's like, no, it's this way. No, there's too many people that, you know, put it on you about like how you're supposed to look at things.
Yeah.
And everyone's been in life differently. You know, how is somebody going to tell like my experience, you know, is different? It should be this way or.
Exactly.
You know, it's.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I think just all learning from one another.
Mm-hmm. So I have a friend who has this theory about guys, you know, guys who date women. And her theory is basically that your mind is already made up. Like you have there's these boxes, right? There's like the hookup box, the girlfriend box, the like wife box, or maybe those two are the same box. Mm-hmm. And you know what box this person's going to be in, like from the beginning.
Prior, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
That's facts.
It is.
As a factual
what?
Statement.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But
there'll
yeah,
be some
us.
Instances where it'll flip and like they'll change it. But like prior to, like, I'll know like off the bat, like, I don't think that person's for me. We don't seem like we're going to mesh well. I'll probably put her in this, then this, then that. It's, I mean, I don't want to be like that, but that's kind of how you're just like kind of built since you were younger.
What are the instances that it flips?
Like unplanned, like spontaneous things that happen. Like I said, sparks over checkboxes.
Right.
So if I get sparks and like something happens between us that didn't go as planned and I didn't see that.
But how are you judging that right off the bat though? Like, okay, I'm going to go on a date with this girl and.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like off the bat, I can't judge it.
I thought you just said you could.
No, I'm saying the spark. I can't judge off the bat. Like, it has to happen. Mm. Like, off the jump.
So you're saying, like, if you don't connect with someone, you'll hook up with them still?
Yes. If I deem them, like, this person, like, to get married, it's not just about looks.
Yeah.
Like, you can hook up with someone that looks good. But at the same time, like, you just can't marry them because you know you wouldn't get along with them very well.
Right.
So that's what I mean when I say that. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, you just putting people in a category just for no reason. Like, there's like a real reason for it because you just know that's just not my person.
Yeah.
So I've done that. I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of men who do that. I think it's a very factual thing, yeah.
But Greg, you disagreed.
About labeling what it's going to be prior? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have a physical type, I would say. So that's very hard for me to do. I like to really feel the person's energy. It's hard not to do, being like, okay, this is going to be, I'm totally going into this and I want a relationship. That's almost impossible for me to do because, you know, I've had so many instances where I'm like, this person's so attractive. Like, I cannot wait to go on so many dates. And I've walked in and like the energy just sucked and the date was
That's
just,
what I mean. But you would still hook up with that girl.
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would. It's especially sex for me is the best when it's
you're in love. Yeah.
Not only when you guys are on the same wavelength, that's when it's the best sex to me. I don't like hooking up with, you know, a rando when it's just not there, 'cause then the sex is going to be bad. I don't like that.
Right.
So you guys, where do you land on the whole friends with benefits thing?
I think that's almost impossible.
Yeah, you're either going to, see, that's when, like, friends with benefits, when, like, it gets, like, to something serious or it didn't work, like, you guys catch feelings. That's that spontaneous spark that happens from, you know, she was maybe in this box and you guys were just friends and you didn't see anything more and then, boom, something snaps. That's what I mean, like, by those, because that's happened to me before.
Yeah,
where you thought you guys were just friends, and then maybe you do this, and you didn't even think this was going to happen, and next thing you know, you're here. But like going into something early, you kind of have like a kind of no replacement.
Are you allowed to sleep together with friends? Like I'm saying, are you allowed
that's
to spend,
the benefit.
Are you allowed to spend
the friendship.
Night? I'm saying spend the night together after you.
Yeah.
Hook up.
Yeah.
See, that's where I think it gets weird. You know?
I mean, I wouldn't with a friend with benefits, but like,
but then
people
you're just
do.
Like, peace.
Yeah, yeah, peace, because it's an arrangement.
I think it all it depends on
good
what
job,
your
pal.
Actions. I mean, if you're going in there cuddling right after, I mean, maybe that's you're going a little
far. That's weird.
There shouldn't be cuddling with friends with benefits. Like,
exactly.
There's
you
gotta
start cuddling,
be
and that's
guidelines.
Then things are gonna change.
Yeah, like. Yeah. I had a very functional friend with benefits for years, and we continued to follow the rules. But also, I think the reason that it worked is because, like, he would have dated me, but I wouldn't have. And I feel like if it were reverse and it was, like, the girl that had the feelings, it wouldn't have worked.
Right. I totally
hear
that.
So that's a friend with benefits rule.
Wow.
Okay. What is your ideal date night? Both of you.
So first date or just in?
I guess, like, while you're dating now, you've been on a few. What are you doing?
I'm going to say something that's going to be, I love double dates. So like if I had a girl and like she'd want to go out with, you know, Greg and his girl, that'd be the best ever. Because then it's not, there's that awkward phase that gets thrown out.
That'd be so fun.
We get to be able to just like kick it and have fun. And then next thing you know, like there could be separate conversations that happen. He takes this girl and have a conversation, but we're still had a good, fun day. It wasn't forced conversational. What are you looking for later in life? Like,
yeah.
That doesn't happen. It just gradually like happens, like, you know, going throughout the night.
So you would go on a double date early?
Going on a double date early.
Like early on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Even a first date.
Absolutely.
That's absurd.
No, that's it's so out of the box that
exactly.
I think it's fun.
I love that.
I love being uncomfortable.
I love that.
I will say you grow in the uncomfortability, but like, what if you and your date are not vibing at all?
I think
they're vibing.
He would pull that out of me then. And
yes!
I would also be like, hey,
that's what I'm
saying. So-and-so, can you tell me
exactly
your friends, you know, biggest, what do you think their best traits
then
are? I feel like we would do a
you'd
good
still
job.
Make it
the conversation.
How'd you guys meet? You just get like cross-platform talking,
fair.
That's neat. That's
cross-platform.
Good.
But what if you then cross-platform? And then
we find out we like the other.
Yes. And it's
well, then we all switch rooms, Cammy. We're going to have a better story.
That's true. That's true. All right.
We got to go on a date.
My ideal date night, though, is I love staying in. And if me and the person are totally vibing, I love to,
I agree.
You know, have them over. Wine.
Wine and a movie.
Wine, movie. And I mean, I'm ordering burritos,
ooh,
queso and chips.
Wow.
I mean,
really? It sounds a little gassy.
Oh, God.
Wow. Sounds a little gassy for a night in.
You know,
right?
Stick with popcorn.
I hope they're not. I hope they're not feeling that. I mean, here I am. Just
sounds
trying
like
to
you're setting them up to, you know what?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's not a good. That's not.
Would
a good
you
combo.
Be okay with that though? Like, you got the burritos and whatever, and like, uh-huh, like your new girl, like, you know, she like let her rip, you know?
I'm sorry.
Andrew gets it. Would you be okay with her?
Oh, no, I heard you. I was just messing with you. I heard you.
I'm sorry. What?
So are you trying to say that that doesn't happen because girls don't do that?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I know they do that. I know we all do that. But man, I don't want her just lifting up her cheeks and just, you know, letting them rip on me. I'm
See,
like,
here's the thing. Like, 90% of all guys on a date have to fart.
Yeah, of course.
The whole night. As soon as we leave like, the house.
Oh my
stomach,
God. Yeah, but you know what? 100%. That says something that you held it in.
Yeah.
You know what? That says
you put
something.
Those burritos
you're a gentleman.
In my belly. Uh-huh. Ain't no
you
way.
Know what? You damn exactly. Gentleman. You.
No, yeah. There's like some show. I forget what it is, but the guy like puts the girl in the elevator and the elevator closes and he just makes like the biggest, most disgusting fart the second the elevator closes.
Actually, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, bro. Come on.
Oh, you're going to tell us a story about when you did that?
Come on, dude.
Oh, that actually makes me think of a fun question. Farting on The Bachelor, like, do you ever fart when you're mic'd up? Like, what happened? Did they cut it for you?
I was joking with everyone. Like, I had said a story where I farted on Connor B.
Yeah.
Remember?
I don't remember that, but...
Yeah, I mean, we're fairly open.
We're all
guys.
I mean,
yeah.
But usually, I ain't gonna lie to you, this is a trick for them to turn your mic down.
Oh.
We'd go, oh, I gotta go take a number two. And then you'd be like, they'll turn you down because they don't want to.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But also, I don't think people were really, I liked farting in the beginning because everyone kind of had like, everyone was like a shell of themselves because, you know, here you are with, you know, 28 other men. Everyone's like trying to act like the head honcho.
Uh-huh.
And then I just like sit down and just be like, I would just rip one. I felt like it kind of let everyone's wall down a little bit.
This is why everyone was like, oh, Greg, he's such a quiet, sad guy. No way. This dude was not like that.
Also really I've been called sad my whole entire life. I literally.
We got to look into that a little bit.
I would stand at parties in college and people would just be like,
why are you saying?
What's wrong?
I think you have like, resting sad face.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what people tell me now.
No, because when I saw you at the reason that Greg and I connected, I saw him at the Charlie Puth concert and I went over to him. But I remember him having resting sad face.
That's so interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was going to ask if you were okay.
People, I actually have a photo of him super happy.
Don't you dare, dude. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I want to see it.
It's my least favorite photo. You got to be. I hate you right now.
That's really funny. Resting sad face. Wow, I've never heard of that. Okay, we're going to do some fun rapid fire poll questions.
Let's do it.
Okay. If you're planning your party at a bar, should you pay for everything? Or like your friends pay for their own stuff?
I would look into getting it comped.
Yeah.
Or I'm gonna pay majority of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you got if you're the one that's saying, oh, let's do it here, you gotta throw down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Most people can't get it comped, you know, because they're not you. So
it's very true.
Not relatable.
Usually you just split maybe if you get a table or something like that.
100%. Have you ever stopped seeing someone because you thought they were out of your league?
Gosh, no.
I don't think I stopped seeing them. I think they stopped seeing me.
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like I've been in situations where I just wasn't myself in the beginning because I was like, oh my God.
I can't believe I did this. look at my life. And
but like
you
never stop. And I feel like that's such like a classic guy ending it excuse. Like, oh no, you're out of my league. Like
I have, what idiot would do that? I can't believe
someone
would.
I mean,
they'd
be lying, right? Like they're trying to end it with you and be nice and make you feel good after it, right? So they're like, they don't want to be the bad guy. So they're like, it's just, you're too good for me. I'm not. you know, I'm not on your level.
I've never done that.
I've never even heard that before.
Yeah,
I've heard
I'm
it.
I'm not letting Have someone you? Go if they're that great.
I've heard it. Is it, okay, back to the farting, last farting question. Is it more embarrassing to have a loud fart or a smelly,
no,
but like silent
Nope, gotta
one?
Go loud, because it's so embarrassing if it's silent and then smelly and you and yeah. the person are just sitting there like, you have to address it.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
That's tough.
Like one time, I was in the car and I was on a date and we're driving to the restaurant. All of a sudden, the car stunk and I think we were passing like we're in
oh,
Jersey
no.
and we were passing like a sewage yeah, swamp yeah, yeah. or something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, by the way, I feel like I just have to say this like that the smell that you're smelling it's not me.
I know exactly yeah. where you were yeah. when that happened because yeah. it always smells on the way back.
Right,
that's hilarious. Yeah, I feel lucky because not that you asked or wanted to know, but mine are usually loud but not smelly.
Oh, well, you know, good for
and
you.
And it could go. It could go. Thank you so
sounds
much.
Kind of, they're a lot better.
Very much.
So Greg was walking the other day and he ripped one. He was like, oh, the ducks are flying low.
Ducks are flying low this season.
Like, does that mean that it was like almost a shard or something?
No, it no. sounds like a little. Like
oh,
a, like
the
a
ducks. I see. I see. Yeah, yeah. When my fiance does it, when he's sitting at his desk, he's like, the floorboards are so crazy.
Well, that's a great
well, last night. When I farted, I was like, who's there?
Okay, when you save, when do you save a dating app matches number after meeting for the first time or not until like it's serious?
I think you got to go. I mean, there's a lot of first dates that can go well. I mean, I think it's telling if you go on a second date with them and you're like, wow, that was another awesome one.
Mm.
Then I feel like you got to save the number in there.
You know, everyone usually, oh, I'm never on this app. Text me. That's like the number one line. So I usually just get their number off the app so I don't have to keep like logging on and checking to see read the whatever. I don't know. I'd rather get their number right off the way.
No, but yeah. when do you save it? When do you put their name in?
Yeah.
Oh, I still don't put people's names in. So
there's something like very sexy about getting a text from a number that you
I
don't
agree.
Have saved
I
in your phone.
I love that. Yeah.
Like, it's so mysterious. Like, it's like, who is this? I don't know.
What am I doing?
Yeah. And then, like, you start to, like, if you do person. Keep texting, like, you start to recognize them from, like, the, like, 917, and you're like, ooh.
Have you guys the worst ever, part is not knowing, is still not knowing who the person is.
Have you guys ever been catfished?
I have not been catfished, but I've been height-fished.
Oh, wow. That
yeah.
stinks.
Yeah, that yeah doesn't it's a sound bummer. Fun. It's a bummer.
I think I've been catfished a couple times.
So have I. So have I.
Well, it's just, you know, people are really good at, you know, fixing in their posture.
Well, that's
why
I tell girls, like, you're not allowed to put edited photos on dating apps with, like, the filters.
That was my biggest turnoff. That's yeah. what it was. Snapchat filters with, like, the dog, like, or the stars.
That's
on a dating profile?
That's my, I think that's my biggest turnoff.
That's
my biggest
turnoff. That's awful.
When you have a Snapchat filter on, like, oh,
yeah,
man.
I just, like,
you can tell right away, too. Uh-huh. You really can.
Wow, can't believe I didn't think of that one.
Okay, a guy you're dating, so, like, let's say you, in this scenario, tells you that he, so you tell this girl that you're seeing, but not, like, official with, right, that you drunkenly made out with one of, like, with another girl.
Wow.
Because, this is weird, it doesn't really make sense now reading it back, but because you have feelings for this girl, so you're telling them because you have feelings for them that you made out with someone else. Following?
That is the, that's a fuckboy comment if I've ever heard one.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Why would anyone ever?
I thought it was like, you told, like, it's the beginning stages and you made out with someone else and be like, by the way, like, I'm interested in someone else. Like, I thought
that's... Oh, no, opposite. No. Yeah. You told the person you're interested in that
I made
you
out
made
with
out
someone
with someone else.
Because I'm interested in you.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell does that mean?
That is gaslighting. That's gaslighting.
What does that mean?
Is ridiculous.
It's like you're putting the blame on her.
I think
you
it's gaslighting.
You did this to me.
Oh, for sure. Okay, if your friends don't like your significant other, can that ever change?
Red flag.
Bad. That's bad.
That's
bad.
Red flag.
That's bad, bad,
that
bad.
That is like 90% of, like I said, I'm a big double date guy.
Yeah.
And it goes further from there. I'm a big game night guy. So, like, that's me, my friends, and their girlfriends. And we just all kind of, and we go out together on the weekends as well. So, red flag.
But do you tell them?
Yes. Absolutely.
Tell them that my friends don't like them?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Oh. Do you tell your friend if you don't like their significant other?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. You kind of have to. Like,
you
like
have
if,
to.
If Andrew, if he was bringing around somebody that I just, I'm like,
dude, you gotta get rid of her.
I'd be like, come on, man. I don't know. I'm seeing something.
I'm still laughing, imagining if you told someone you're dating that your friends don't like them. Oh, yeah. Like, that'd be the most savage thing in the world.
That my friends so, say you're not all that.
No.
By the way, my friends, they met you the other day. They hated you.
It was brutal. It was years ago when I was in college. I feel like I actually can't say it. I brought somebody on at a wedding, and it was all of my friends.
They didn't like that.
Yeah. My friends. And then they just didn't vibe.
Yeah. But I have to tell you guys, like, it sounds like, yeah, you should tell them. Once you get to a certain age, like, you know, like, I don't know, 29 and up, you can't tell them. Because, like, for all you know, they're going to marry this person.
Oh, I know.
And then they're going to cut you out because they know how you feel.
That's like, actually one of my biggest fears. Not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
I'm so close with my friends. Like, they become my brothers. And I have a lot of women friends that are like I'm like, you're gonna be standing up at my wedding. You're gonna be wearing a tux. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, but I have to, I mean, like, we're gonna be friends like forever. I don't wanna have like that dip where like, oh, we're too old to do this.
Mm.
I think that everyone should find time to make time with friends. You know, I think that's important. I know obviously when you have kids and whatever, things are going to be a lot more hectic. Have kids, we're going to bring our kids together. Like, that's kind of my mindset with it. But I think it's so important for your friends to like your significant other and for you to like theirs, or life's just going to be really boring.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing we're going to do, and then I'm going to ask you guys for a quote or piece of advice to start brewing. Greg, a lot of people have requested that I do a small reading where I kind of look up your zodiac chart, right? Your
Let's do it. I love that.
Do you know what time you were born?
I want to say it's because I've been asked this. I want to say it's I want to say it's 4:17 a.m.
That's so funny because there's some meme that's like, if he knows his birth time, he's a fuckboy.
Oh God.
Okay, June 5th.
Yep, 1993.
Okay, wow.
Why did I not know that? I thought it was
13. And it's 4:17 a.m.
4:19.
And yep. Where were you born?
New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Okay. Everybody listening, the truth has come out.
I love this shit. Sometimes it's like pretty trippy.
It's trippy.
How spot on it can be.
It's trippy. Okay, you're Taurus rising.
Okay.
And you're a Sagittarius moon. For anyone listening, I'm just going to read the chart and then I'll get into it. Cancer, Mercury, Venus in Aries, makes so much sense for why you left the show.
Oh boy.
Mars in Leo, Jupiter in Libra. Anyway, okay. So you are a Taurus rising, which means that you come off hardworking and dependable, mm-hmm. and you have an appreciation for beauty and self-care.
Okay.
Which is probably why you like a night in, lots of nights in. Your moon is in Sagittarius, so this is actually the same placement as my fiance, so I know it quite well. Very childlike at heart, which is why you need somebody that doesn't take themselves too seriously, because like, you're always laughing. It's funny that you have resting sad face, because Sagittarius moons are like the happiest, go luckiest people.
Mm-hmm.
So it is funny. But I will say, you're a Gemini sun, so Geminis, you probably have grown up knowing that Geminis are like two-faced.
Oh, yeah,
or
we get a bad rep.
You get a bad rep. And but the good part about Geminis is they're very smart,
right.
And they're very like street smart, and not like not book smart, but
I
more,
would consider myself more street smart than book
smart. Fair. And easily bored.
Oh yeah,
super like restless in that way. Like to be communicating at all times, whether it's like with a friend or like, you know, on apps and whatever. But Sagittarius is the opposite of Gemini, and that's your moon sign, and your moon is your emotional self. So even though you are technically a Gemini, deep down you're a Sagittarius, which is the complete opposite of a Gemini.
Wow.
So you're the opposite of what people think that you are, which is very interesting.
Interesting. I love that.
Very deep. And so I'll quickly tell you, your Venus is in Aries, and your Venus is how you love. Aries is very direct and spontaneous, which is why you spontaneously made that decision to get the fuck out of there.
So me.
You needed that directness. You needed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Aries' biggest thing is like, the thing they hate more than anything else is being ignored.
Yeah.
And you felt like you were being ignored.
Ooh. Ooh.
All right, Andrew, did you get the time?
Oh, shit.
My sister says it was 11:30 a.m.
I'm very impressed that your sister knows that. My sister has no idea what time I was
like
born.
She's practicing my mom as well.
Also, I ask, should Andrew and I go to Acme? Neither of us.
1,000%.
I've never been to Acme.
We tried to go this weekend.
Yeah, and then it was just rejected? Like too long
the
line.
Well, the Santa thing was going on.
Okay, why don't we go together?
Let's do it.
We'll look at the sketch after.
Okay. Cool.
January 20th?
Mm-hmm.
What year again?
95.
Okay. Wow. I was 5. What time?
11:30 a.m. I think.
11:30 a.m. Where?
Lake Forest, Illinois.
Okay. Whoa. You are the same person.
Oh, this is so weird. Oh, my God.
That's actually wild. You're also a Taurus rising. Holy shit.
Dude.
We told each other.
We knew it. We knew it.
So you literally come off as the same person. So fucking weird.
We actually had a picture of us both in Harry Potter costumes.
Yeah,
because
we just really? Met Harry Potter last night.
Daniel Radcliffe.
How was it? Oh, he's the coolest dude.
So we know we're like the biggest fans. And so I went to go get a drink at the bar, and I come back and he's like, okay, relax for a second. He's like, Potter.
Be cool.
Potter's here.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, Harry is right there.
Stop.
I like turned and like my heart was beating.
Where?
Out
I was
of
hot.
My chest.
I was hot.
Where was this?
It was
what's the place called? We had a Christmas party.
Yeah, it was a Christmas party. Okay. It was like a little private Christmas party that we went to. But I guess she was friends with Harry.
And I was like, there's Daniel Radcliffe.
So you said
right
hi.
There. Oh, yeah. Did we say hi?
Did he know who
we
you
talked
guys
for
were?
Like, and
he's a big Bachelor fan. Big Bachelor fan. And so was his girlfriend. We were all chatting about the show for 45 minutes.
Got them to talk about how they met and everything. It was really cool.
Oh,
like,
my God.
He gave some
amazing.
Really good dating advice, by the way. So,
What was his advice?
I feel like that's like dear to
my
heart.
Please,
I'm going to keep
share,
that in.
Please share. Give us a hint.
I don't know. I think I'm going to have to
keep that. Don't you
want
to help people?
Well, yeah, but I mean, not every day.
His biggest takeaway with his girlfriend, I mean, it's not like rocket science, but he was like, they constantly laugh and they constantly, you know, compliment each other in that way where they just, they keep their love young.
And he also said that, you know, it's tough for guys to come out and talk to women or talk to anybody about their feelings. And he was like, she was the first person I just went to, told her everything. I was like, so, wow. All right.
It's amazing.
So he's just
find that
really
person
cool
who
job.
You want to open up to.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yep.
Really good.
Okay, last thought on your chart, Andrew. So you're a Virgo moon. So you are a bit critical of yourself.
And, very factual.
And the people that you love, which
very factual.
Is like how you show your love in a way.
I would agree. I would agree with that. He loves to give his perspective on things, which I also really appreciate when he gives
me
his perspective. Yeah.
Okay, that was scary.
That's your your deep emotional self right there.
That's really scary.
All right, guys, give me a quote or piece of advice that has helped you or maybe Daniel Radcliffe throughout the years.
You want to go first?
You got it.
You want to think for a second. I guess you sure you don't want to go first?
I'm sure.
I am so on the spot right now, blanking
dude,
in my head.
You're blanking hard.
Well, you go first.
I don't know what I have
it could
to
be
say.
A quote. It could be a quote.
Yeah.
Like
it's
just
quote.
Do it.
What's your favorite quote?
Nike, just do it.
That's so boring and lame. My favorite book is The Four Agreements. I'm not going to pull a quote from there.
No, that's
like.
A great book that we've referenced before.
Yeah, Four Agreements was incredible. After reading that book, I was... You know, I like to constantly, I would say do what challenges you, do what scares you, especially because, you know, I look back at my life and I had so many questions about whether I wanted to go to acting or what the hell I wanted to do in my life. And I mean, I was jobless for a little bit at like 22. I was working. I mean, I just told him that this last night. I don't think I've ever said this. I mean, way to make money. People were like, there were so many rumors about me and like what I was doing. I was working like 3 jobs and they were all part-time jobs right out of college. One of them, I was so ashamed of it, but like I was Ubering because I was trying to like
pay. It's not shameful.
Yeah, it's not at all. Trust me, it was good freaking money. You know,
yeah.
the most hours you put in. But I mean, yeah, challenging myself has definitely humbled me in a lot of ways. And you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, I would say. And I just like to constantly, you know, do, you know, things that scare me. That's how I feel like I grow.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, that people are starting to know that I'm a big kind of like adventure book nerd, like nonfiction.
Oh, yeah,
big Harry Potter
you're
fan.
Such a nerd. You're
I love Marvel. Nerd. Like to it, like that is my favorite thing in the world. So I love like listening to what like little quotes that Marvel has. One was like, "No amount of money ever bought a second of time," and that always resonated with me because obviously I grew up without like you know money at all.
Yeah.
My mom worked like three jobs. We were really low on the spectrum there, and I never felt like I wasn't having fun, or my time was always well valued, or was always used maximized. You know what I mean? So that's how I continue to live. I feel like, and I feel like people should just honor their time and maximize every you know second that they have, even though they might not be in the spot that they want to be. Just show up smiling. That's what I got from that quote and from Marvel because it makes me smile. It just you know maximize that time you got.
Love it.
Love cool. that.
Thank you guys so much. Where can everybody find you, follow you, and maybe slide into your DMs if that's open?
Those are open for me. Mm. It's just hard to read them. There's just like some people say silly things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking at the moment. I'm just.
Okay,
yeah.
But where can people follow you?
Oh, yeah. Andrew Z. Spencer on every single social media platform.
Amazing.
Or in Chicago, West Loop, if you're looking.
Oh, love West Loop.
Yep. And I'm just at Greg Rippo. I did just make a TikTok. I mean, I don't make TikTok.
Oh, I can't wait to see you do very serious dances.
I'm going to do one now just for you.
You better.
But yeah, I was at Greg J. Grippo.
He tried to copy my Andrew Z because my middle name's in there.
So no, because somebody has my TikTok name. Somebody made the TikTok my name, so I couldn't do it.
Wow.
It's brutal. You should buy it off.
Yeah, you got to buy it.
Yeah.
I like the J.
Yeah. Also, that's what they wanted. They wanted you to buy it.
Yeah.
Don't give them that.
I'm not doing that. You lose.
Exactly. Guys, thank you so much. This is awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
Yep.